Do we need a new handle? Do we need to be the Buzz?
Oh, well, we're the Fan.
We're the Fan, but I mean...
The Buzz was in Little Rock.
I know, but I kind of like
103.7.
The Buzz. Maybe we could be the Sports Buzz or...
I have a hat.
The Fan Buzz.
Salt Lake City Buzz for their AAA team.
That's a good one. Yeah. Didn't Bill Murray owned a piece?
Actually...
No, he owned a piece of the Trappers before. Sorry.
Did he?
Yeah, that was... That, this is useless Salt Lake sports knowledge right here for you in the city of Cleveland.
Your friend, my friend, Sam Amico... was employed in Salt Lake City for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam brought me a Salt Lake Buzz hat.
Mm-hmm.
And he also brought me an Ogden Raptors hat, except for one thing. It might be a collector's item because Ogden is spelled wrong.
What
in
do you
the
mean?
Stitching on the hat.
They spelled Ogden wrong?
On their own, you know, their own hats that they're selling in their concession stands or, you know, souvenir stands.
No way.
Their team shops, they spelled Ogden wrong. They spelled it O-D-G-E-N.
What famous university is Ogden?
Is it Brigham Young?
Brigham Young? Weber State. Weber State.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Okay.
Let's play trivia.
The Cavs are not active, folks, as we know. Right now, they've been eliminated by the Indiana Pacers.
The league would likes when teams aren't active right now. They like the spotlight on their current teams.
They got kicked out after five games, and that's not good. And that has led to lots of speculation, lots of wacky trade rumors, lots of interesting trade rumors involving the Cavaliers. And there's one name that keeps coming up involving the Cavaliers, and I keep thinking... There's no way. And that name is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, I thought there was going to be a La somewhere in that name. Okay, good.
La, like an L-E?
Yes.
Followed by a Bron?
Yes.
That's not the one. It's Giannis. And I keep thinking, there's no way. And immediately we heard we'll trade Darius Garland and Jared Allen for Giannis. Just go do it.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way that Milwaukee's doing that trade.
Jeff, here's what I would do. I would give them the entire roster of the Cleveland Charge. That's just me. Like, think about that. The numbers game.
I didn't think that would work.
That's just it. We're going to send them the entire Charge team, and they'll give us back Giannis. It's easy.
Okay.
I love when people come up with these draft ideas or these trade ideas that they're like, oh, we'll just give them like the last five guys at the end of the bench for that. That's a 5-for-1 deal. Come on. How could that go wrong?
There's another offer that I saw yesterday. And I will say it made me pause for a second. But I don't think Milwaukee does this trade. You tell me if Milwaukee does this trade.
Is this with the Cavs?
Yeah. Okay. I think there has to be a ton more thrown in by the Cavs. And I don't think they have it. It was Giannis even up for Evan Mobley. I don't think, and you know what an Evan fan I am.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way on God's green earth that Milwaukee trades Giannis for Evan Mobley.
I don't know. So you're trying to sell that as defensive player of the year who's young.
With upside.
Yeah, it's going in the other direction. You'd have to give them all of your 20, 30 draft picks, first rounders, probably at least two or three, right?
You can't trade them.
Past the 30-something.
Oh, you'd have to keep trading and trading. And
if you're in the second apron, those things might get frozen to be the last pick in the first draft in the first round.
There's all kinds of stuff.
So why I would never trade with the Cavaliers right now.
I would think the only way this would get their attention.
I should say I would never trade a draft pick with the Cavs right now.
This would get their attention and might make them do it. Would you trade Darius Garland and Evan Mobley for Giannis? Now, see, that to me guts the Cavs.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I would do that trade. And I am a huge Giannis fan. And Giannis is under contract. He's got a player option in 27-28, according to Spotrac, for $62 million.
Say that again?
It's a player option, according to Spotrac. He's under contract, it appears, for next season, the year after that. I know there's some funny stuff going on there. And he's got an upcoming extension. I think that's what's going on now. But at his age, I don't know if I'm the Cavs, and he's 30 years old. He could play at an extremely high level for another 7 or 8 years.
Okay.
At the very least 5. Let's go with 5. Okay.
Okay.
He could play until he's 34 at a very high level. I don't know that I would move Evan Mobley in a trade.
By the way, the ESPN trade machine. You want Garland and Mobley for?
No, I don't want it. I'm just saying.
No, if, I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there, right? That might be like one of the few things that might entice Milwaukee.
Maybe
Garland and Mobley together.
I would think that might entice them.
So the numbers come under, and so it's it failed. The trade failed for Giannis. They can't even do it.
Why?
I'm assuming because the Cavaliers.
I mean, they could fill out pieces to make it work.
Yeah, I'm just saying straight up, those two for him, you got to figure out a way to get through it.
Because, and you could.
Because the money is virtually the same.
You could. Don't you think?
The Bucks are over the luxury tax threshold with this trade, and the incoming aggregate salaries exceeded what's allowed through 125% plus the Cavs' $100,000 rule. You got to cut $20 million from the Bucks' incoming trade value to make this successful. Well, that ain't never going to happen. Never.
There's some stuff there.
You've got to fix $20 million there, according to this, because they're in the second apron.
I don't know, man. I just think there's some trade offers out there. And the more I hear about them, the more and I'm in no hurry to bust up the Cavs. I saw a trade offer yesterday. You know, somebody just threw it out. Jared Allen to the Nets for Cam Johnson. Okay. Well, if you trade Jared Allen, you need two more big guys because you need one right now. You know, and though big guys aren't necessarily dominating right now, take a look at Oklahoma City. They have a couple of serviceable big guys. Take a look at Indiana. They have a couple of serviceable big guys. Miles Turner's done a nice job. Thomas Bryant has come in and helped out. Take a look at the Knicks. They started Karl Anthony Towns and Mitchell Robinson after shaking up their lineup a little bit. I mean, teams have two big guys. Some teams have three. And if you were to bust up one of them, you're going to...
I can't see the Cavs that the only move that they made last year was changing coaches, and knowing how handcuffed they are with trying to make any movement, I can't see them gutting what they have.
Yeah, I can't
and expecting
either.
To get better.
The only move that I would make if I were Kobe Altman that I would consider making out of the guys who are considered their core four is if somebody called and offered me a really, really, really good wing for Darius Garland. A guy who I felt was a comparable talent on the wing to what Darius is in the backcourt. And I would do that only because of busting up the two smaller guards in the backcourt who are ball dominant. Other than that, I'm going to roll with it and go to the trade deadline. And if it's not working, then maybe I could do something there. But I would not look to trade any of these four guys. Jim's in Aurora, home of the Green Men. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you. We appreciate you listening.
So my opinion is that they always talk about chemistry, and we've seen it in all of sports, especially in Cleveland here, about breaking up our key guys. I don't think we trade anybody. Keep it what it is. Remember, Garland did have that injury that affected him, and you can tell. Mm-hmm. Do you really want to trade him did he reach his full potential in the playoffs? Maybe not. What if this was just a fluke and we just had a bad round in the playoffs? What if that's all it was? The Pacers are killing it. What if that's – Rick Carlisle said they were hot and the Cavs just met them when we were hot.
Maybe.
Super possible.
Maybe.
I'll buy it.
The one thing, though, Jim, take a look around the East. You know, New York looks like a team that the Cavs are going to have to deal with, you know, for a couple of years to come. Same thing with Indiana. Boston will be as well. I mean, do the Cavs need a tweak to become a better playoff team? Because that's what it's about now.
Yeah. I agree. Maybe a tweak, but I don't think you break up the key four. That's just my opinion, guys. That's just my opinion.
Jim, we appreciate you calling. Thank you very much. I don't think you do either, Andy.
I don't think they have a choice.
Unless Kobe Altman answers his cell phone and there's some GM on the other end of the phone and says, you know what, we really want Darius, and here's what we're willing to give you. And Kobe thinks, wow, that takes care of a couple of things for me. And you make that move. That's the only one.
It doesn't. Can we call it the core five? Because I got to believe DeAndre Hunter needs to start next year. Especially based on the investment they made.
Meredith, core five has no ring to it. What are we going to call them?
Core four sounds better because it has fabulous an internal five. Rhyme.
Fabulous five could work.
Although wasn't the
Fab Five was Michigan.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I feel like that was already.
We could go fabulous. That's going full
fantastic. Like off the cute. Fantastic Four, Fantastic Five.
Doesn't work. I think the Fantastic Five has the same non-ring as Core Five.
How about the Flashy Five?
What time of the press conference?
The Baskin side.
Yes.
I
can't think of a good.
Would you move Evan Mobley under any circumstance?
Yeah, it just depends on.
You would.
It would have to be something outrageous. And I still, even if I wanted to move him, I don't know that I can. Take a week and read the second apron and try to figure out how they're going to make some kind of move. I hear everyone going, they're going to make a major move in the offseason. The Cavaliers are poised to make a major move. Ha! Hey, when I see it, I'll believe it, and I'll cheer Kobe for even being able to get out of this deal.
I'll cheer.
I don't know how he's going to do it. I need someone that can solve a Rubik's Cube in less than 2.5 seconds that's going to be able to figure out how to get out of the second apron.
That would be challenging. Eric is in Akron. Hello, Eric.
Eric.
Hey, guys. So I plugged in my own trade to the trade machine, and it didn't work.
Yep.
But I'd love to figure out a way to make it work, which is Naz Reid for Jared Allen.
Well, now, why would you trade big guy for big guy?
Well, because I think Naz Reid's a better version of Jared Allen. I think he has more flexibility, and he's cheaper and younger.
Yeah, but now you'd have to make a trade work. See, here's the thing. I like Naz Reid. I think he's a terrific player. I'd like to add him to this group. Again, I think you need another big guy, Eric. So I wouldn't want to trade big for big. But if I could get Naz Reid, that'd be great.
Could you trade and sign Ty Jerome? Like Ty for the
I'm not going to lie. I think we're tied up on these sign and trades too because of the
second apron
stuff. Yeah. Because that's, I got to look it up. It's one of those rules. I'm telling you, this franchise is absolutely handcuffed. Mine is too. Read it. You'll be fried after reading it.
What fun. Thanks for the phone call. 216-474-0092. What would you do, folks? I mean, some of these trade rumors that are being thrown around out there are huge. They're blockbusters, and I think that they're not a good idea. I'm not trading Evan Mobley and one other guy. I'll tell you who that is coming up on Baskin and Phelps. And talking NBA conference finals and challenges in the Eastern Conference moving forward. And do those challenges mean the Cavaliers maybe don't have the team in place that they're going to need to have? And should they make some tweaks? And Andy, overall, your thought on this is?
I think they're stuck. I just don't know. It's going to take some magic to twist this roster around to bring in a major impact player without gutting what they have right now. And I don't even know if that's... Yeah, I guess if you gut it, then you could go back and you try to get out of their fiscal handcuffs that they're in. They're also in handcuffs about, you know, draft picks because you're still having... you got to pay the Donovan Mitchell price.
There are three of them that are on their way to Utah for sure. 2025, 2027, 2029.
Right. So you're
and then pick swaps in between in 26 and 28.
And then if you get into the... when you're in this second apron of...
which I don't understand. And very few teams, I think maybe three teams could end up in the second apron, which makes things really, really harsh as far as changing your roster. The Cavs could be one of two or three teams that end up in the second apron, Andy.
I mean, if you want to just throw money away, then, you know, you can do, but it's millions. It's not like, oh, we're at 126% of you know, the salary cap, and
what were the figures?
That 1% sounded a big deal.
If you re-signed Ty Jerome for 17, it basically cost you $80 million.
It was something insane. So
it's nuts. I don't feel a need right now for the Cavaliers to go out and bust up their core four players. And, you know, core four, obviously the name that the Cavs gave themselves with those four guys.
Right.
The two guys in the backcourt, the two guys in the front court. You've thrown DeAndre Hunter in there as well.
Yeah.
I think DeAndre is actually a guy that they could move. I don't want to move him. I like him. I don't want him to be traded. He's a guy you could move. The only other possibility, if somebody called Kobe Altman and said, we really want Darius Garland, here's a comparable player who you can play on the wing, I definitely consider it.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back and you look at your thoughts of trying to hang in even to Ty Jerome or Dwayne Wade, it all kind of got handcuffed.
I call him Dean all the time, too.
Dean, you're handcuffed because of the fact that Evan Mobley, you know, won Defensive Player of the Year.
And his salary went.
He went from 224 to 269.
Buda bing. Good for him.
Yeah.
And this was all inspired by some of the trade rumors we saw. Evan Mobley to Milwaukee for Giannis, which I don't think is a viable opportunity. Dominic is in Cleveland. Hey, Dominic.
Hey, I don't think we need to do anything to the core four except send them to some off-season training with either the Navy SEALs or the Green Berets, because it's about fitters. It's about mental toughness. Look at the teams that are still in the playoffs. All of these guys play tough basketball. We weren't ready for that, and a part of that is coaching. So the coach needs to go too.
But well, you're the guy at the best record in the Eastern Conference. He's coach here for 1 year.
Regular season.
Yeah, I got you. Well, you know what, Dominic? I'd argue with you, but this is a franchise that fired a coach that took a team to the NBA Finals and was in first place.
Look,
so I can't argue with you. I cannot.
Okay, but now with the coaching, he played 10, 11 people all regular season. Got to the playoffs, he got tight. Look at what Carl, Indiana's coach, did. He stuck with it. We should have kept those guys in the rotation. All our guys looked fatigued. I never saw Indiana's guys looking fatigued during the game because the fresh rotation stayed in play. We didn't do that. So it's mental toughness to me with coaching and with the player.
Dominic, I'll ask you one question. Is Indiana the best team in the NBA?
Woo! Right now, I have to say yes.
And I think you got to give them a little respect, and that's all.
Dominic, thank you.
Thank you.
I got to go Oklahoma City.
I can't wait to see it. And you know who can? The NBA. They can wait up forever to see this matchup.
Thomas is in Shaker. Thomas, welcome to our show.
Oklahoma City is the best team in the NBA. That's a no-brainer.
Oh, that's a no-brainer. Okay, I can't wait till these two teams play, man.
Come on, man.
Indiana's caught
up in Pacer fever.
I got a fever. And
man,
it needs...
how do you have fever for Indiana? Come on, doesn't that go get your Ohio blood?
No, what's the difference? They've never won a title. I mean, if you're going to lose to the team Indiana. That's going to win the championship.
It's Midwest superior. Man, we're supposed to be Ohio's supposed to always feel like they're superior to all the other Midwestern states.
So you don't.
I don't know.
It's true, man. We can't root for another Great Lake. I mean, it's like rooting for Detroit.
It's like rooting for the Big Ten and the Rose Bowl. I do that too, even when it's Michigan.
Never seen Terre Haute on a Friday night.
That's true.
Oh, boy.
Anyway,
you don't cry when you watch Hoosiers. Come on, man.
You got to tear up.
No,
come on. Shooter, anyway. Listen to the game in the hospital. Come on, man.
3, 2, 1, let her fly.
It's okay. He's my assistant. You're gone.
But I was fine.
Andy. Anyway, I think the Cavs, you know, I don't.
Oh, what happened?
I don't know.
I just clicked back on Thomas. I think he's still there. Yeah, I think you just clicked on.
Oh,
there we go.
Thomas,
all right, gotcha. Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, so I don't think the Cavs should trade Evan Mobley. I don't think the Cavs should trade Evan Mobley or Mitchell. I think they're about two untouchables. But I'm with you with the Garland thing. If they have – I really like Wagner out of Orlando. I really would the starter, Frosch. Yeah, yeah. I would love to trade Frosch for – I would love to trade Garland for Frosch. I think that he brings that added toughness to our team that we would need.
And he's 6'10".
and he gives you, and he'll still give you 20 points a game. I think if that that was on the table, I would make that trade, man. I mean, I really do think
but
that.
But they have Jalen Suggs. They have Jalen Suggs.
Yeah, and Jalen Suggs, we're right there. We're right there. The only two teams that are stopping us in the East are Indiana and New York. So we just got to build our team. We're like so close to getting to the finals. And it's just, I just would make that move because you have to. You got to be bold to win the championship. And I just think that Garland has proven playoff after playoff that he's not, maybe that he's not ready or something, but I just rather go with somebody else.
All right, Thomas, thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh, I was going to ask Thomas if he could ever root for Clevelandites when you're from Shaker.
Of course not.
You can find a way.
Along with Evan Mobley, the only other guy in this team that I wouldn't think about trading is Donovan, obviously. It's, to me, Mobley and Mitchell are your guys. And I know many folks don't want to hear this. Darius, I won't call him an auxiliary piece. He's a key piece, but he's not as key as Evan, and he's not as key as Donovan. And that's why if that phone rang and you had that, you know, for instance, like as Thomas just said, if for whatever reason Orlando wanted to trade you Franz Wagner in a deal with Darius, you got to take that phone call. Mark's in Cleveland. Hello, Mark.
Mark.
Hey, fellas. I'm staying with this team on a simple fact that I do put a lot of that the losses on the injuries. I mean, you cannot take that away.
Hard not to, Mark. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of people try to overlook that. And then I look at New York. I look at Boston. Both of those teams are strapped. They can't make any kind of moves. Boston is over the limit. I mean, they maxed out. And New York just made, I forget how many first-round picks they gave up for Mikal Bridges. They can't do anything. So I think we're still good in the East, and I'm not going to break up this backcourt. I mean, you're talking about the second to fifth best backcourt in the NBA. I'm not breaking that up. I mean, we're going to have to roll what we got to do, and we got to do what Kobe said. If Evan got to pop, if he don't pop and advance his play, we can't do nothing. But I'm keeping this team together. I mean, look at the wins we did.
You know, Mark, one thing that's interesting, did you find this interesting? Because I kind of did. Donovan made first team All-NBA. That's a big deal. And right. We've seen it before. Mark Price made it for the Cavaliers and, of course, LeBron numerous times. But Cavs don't make first team All-NBA. But Evan Mobley made second team All-NBA. And I thought that was pretty fascinating because that's a big honor. And he made second
Evan's
team.
Evan's a beast, man. I mean, he's one of the best defensive players. He's not the best defensive player in the league.
Yep.
So, I mean, and he's averaging 19, 18 points. So, I mean, he deserved that. I just want to see more out of Evan, man. You know, you look at somebody like Giannis. Each year you saw 6, 12, 18, 24 points. You saw the growth. I don't know if it's because he got the ball fed to him or with just his growth, but that's what we need to see out of Evan. Evan, 25 points a game, and then, you know, he's a superstar.
Mark, I couldn't agree with you more. 25 might be tough because of all the other scoring options and with Donovan here, but there's no reason that Evan Mobley can't pick up a couple of more shots and a couple of more points and average 22, 23 points a game. I mean, I think that's real doable. His defense puts him in a position, though, where if he's scoring 18, 19 points a game and getting close to 10 rebounds and playing his D, that's getting it done. Taylor is in Parma. Taylor, welcome.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great, thank you.
Hey, I had an interesting thought. I'm in total agreement that Mobley and Mitchell are untouchable. What if we got rid of Garland and talked to the Sixers and tried to get like Tyrese Maxey so they can't match up on our guards anymore?
Does it still leave you with two small ball dominant guards?
Well, Maxey can play off ball and he's a much better perimeter defender. And I think, and he's a couple inches taller than Garland, but.
So who's going to handle the ball? Donovan?
I think either one of them could. I mean, honestly, I kind of look at them both as kind of combo guards.
It's interesting. See, Taylor, this is the type of stuff that...
You want to be the brick wall?
Yeah.
Cavaliers are over the luxury tax threshold, and this trade and the incoming aggregate salaries exceed what is allowed of the 125%. The handcuffs out, that trade would fail.
Baskin's no fun, Taylor.
Yeah, hang on a second.
Maxey's 6'2", and... He does play point, but it does leave you with two small ball dominant guards.
And then the other thought I had was get rid of Jared Allen. He's he's proven in the playoffs that he's just too soft.
At two double-doubles against Indiana.
And in other games, he had like 3-4 rebounds.
I won't argue with you. Maybe a little more consistency, but I just think if you move Jared Allen, you need to go get two big guys.
Okay, because I was going to say, what if we talk to move Mobley up to the five and go for like a Cam Johnson or something else and to create more driving lanes.
But you still then, Taylor, still need to go get another big guy. I mean, an NBA team in this day and age, I think, needs to have three viable big guys that they could give some playing time to, at the very least two. And if you trade Jarrett, who's a terrific defender, and remember, if you got Donovan and Darius, you better have some interior defense because they're not going to play great defense out on the perimeter. And I think that Jarrett and Evan combined allow you to have Darius out there playing point guard because they can cover up a lot of his defensive mistakes.
I reworked that trade in the trade machine. It did work. I just don't think once we hit the cap it would. So
as of
right now, because Garland is more than Maxey because he's 36 mil and Maxey's 35 mil.
You made me feel better. Nate's just in Lorraine.
Yeah.
Nate.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, sir. We can.
Okay. This whole thing, I think people are just overlooking or refuse their, I don't know if it's been denial, but when they talk about defense in the perimeter, we lost this series because our perimeter players, I'm going to name two guys, and I find it strange. No one will even talk about moving these guys. Why are we not talking about moving on from Ty Jerome? Totally outplayed, couldn't get the ball across half court on one occasion. The other should have been called. We lost on the perimeter. You can't have two guys playing at the same time between him and Merrill who cannot defend on the perimeter against Mathurin, Neesmith, Nembhard, and Halliburton. And the other guy said earlier that he shortened the rotation. Yes, he did. We need to move on from those two. If I can get Caris LeVert back for that, to pair with that, because let me take Craig Porter Jr. here real quick.
So Jerome, wait, just Nate, to
Jerome's
go back.
Jerome's a free agent.
Yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent. So you've already moved on, and we've talked about what he would cost the Cavs. So you're going to get your wish on that.
Okay.
Probably.
So, yeah. Because I looked at Craig Porter Jr. when they're talking about promoting from within. Jalen Tyson at 6'6". All I know is in Green 2, Craig Porter Jr. came in. He got a block on McConnell at the rim, stopped that basket. He put defense on Halliburton and Nembhard. They couldn't get past him. And he got a steal and went down and dunked it. And the coach put him on the bench. And he just stuck with Ty Jerome to where it was obviously shown that this guy cannot, he doesn't have, not that he doesn't try, doesn't have the requisite skill set.
Nate, thank you very much. Ty Jerome's a free agent. We'll see. Craig Porter came in and actually did have an impact on that game and didn't play very much. And Ty Jerome, remember, sat most of game five, then came in and actually made an impact against Indiana. But we're going to talk a lot of Cavs in the offseason because it's a big story. You know, the team was 64 wins in the regular season and then knocked out in the second round of the playoffs again. And you know, you keep rolling the same thing back, Andy, time after time, expecting different results. We'll see. We'll see. It's a big deal. We're going to talk a little Guardians coming up next. Also, in 22 minutes, Browns OTA talk. Stefanski, Flacco, Pickett, all coming up. That's Andy. I'm Jeff. The Guardians are playing the Los Angeles Dodgers again today. Under normal circumstances, we'd say, hey, great, a little afternoon baseball. Instead, the Dodgers have looked like the Dodgers against the Guardians, who have not looked like the Guardians team that was playing pretty good ball coming into that series.
Amen.
But today could be very different.
It's time to check on Cleveland starting now. Powered by Bet365 Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the Cleveland Guardians.
All right, gentlemen, leading off the line of today, Stephen Kwan, also starting in left field in the two-hole. Angel Martinez, starting in center field. Jose Ramirez will be...
Hi. we were just going to stop and pause for 1 second. Bo Naylor not hitting second. Who was hitting second? Angel Martinez moving up. I kind of like it.
Correct.
I think he might be the best number two hitter.
It's the rotation spot there that everyone keeps going through. Yeah. It's like, you know,
they got to find somebody.
Who's going to hit second today? All right. Oh, you got the short straw. Good job, Martinez.
Yeah.
All right. And then batting third.
Jose
Ramirez also playing the role of DH. Cleanup, Carlos Santana starting at first base. After that, Gabriel Arias starting at shortstop. John Kenzie Noel, after that, he'll be in right field.
Hey, a John Kenzie Noel sighting.
Hey, Will Wilson at third base today, followed by Daniel Schneeman at second base. Austin Hedges batting last, and then starting Coby Allard.
That's Cleveland Starting Now, powered by Bet365 Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the Cleveland Guardians.
So Bo Naylor getting a day off. One of the reasons he's not hitting second. It's an odd position to hit Bo Naylor in, only because he's not been hitting real well as of late.
Yeah, I just don't know how Coby Altman's going to pitch and run. I'm sorry, I had to do it. He's going to pitch today and he's going to run the Cavaliers at the same time. Well done.
Coby Allard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Allard pitching.
Yeah, same.
That'll be fun. This team has had some struggles here against the Dodgers. That's okay.
Kind of cool for him.
Don't overreact to a couple of tough losses against a good baseball team.
Yeah.
That's all I'd say. The only issue to me, Andy, is I hate even feeling this way. If the Guardians fall behind in a game, and we've seen them come back, we've seen them do some things, but when they fall behind, I think, okay, this is going to be tough. And I do that every time they fall behind in a game, because I just think that they struggle enough for offense that it's puzzling, and it makes me think, oh boy, they could be done, especially with the starting rotation not being quite as solid as it's been in the past.
Say that again. Did you say they could be done?
No, in a game.
Oh, just in the game. Yeah, okay, I was trying to figure out.
If they fall behind in a game by three or four runs, I think they're toast.
I feel that way all the time.
Because
This whole series, I've felt that
way. I just don't see that the offense is going to give me four or five runs over the next four or five innings or something like that to get back in the baseball game.
The issue is that you get yourself in, like, both games they've been able to get guys into scoring position, or they've been able to at least get somebody on base to give you a little bit of hope, but they just don't have enough power to battle through to get to two or three or four more batters to start, you know, stringing things together. That's how you end up with two runs, although yesterday they had five. But I don't have that late inning feeling for this team at all, especially when you're playing against a good team. There's no magic right now. And maybe you don't have it because it's the end of May, but you know, you start looking at the standings again, and here you are sitting six back. And
remember, they had dropped
to six back before,
and then got hot and moved right back up into second place.
Like I said, going into that Detroit series, they could have walked out of the weekend 10 games out, but they didn't. And that's what gives me hope about this team. That's why I like this team, because they're not. But it's just so streaky. I'm not going to go back through and talk about a five game win streak, five game losing streak. Three-game winning streak. And they're so streaky.
Well, let's sum it up this way. They've lost eight of their last 12 games. That's not typical. The one concern that I have, and I have it mainly, the offense is always a concern. The bigger concern to me is this. The offense, though it's always been a concern, was covered up by a starting rotation that put you in most every game and kept you in most every game. And right now, they're still working out some things. I'm not going to say the rotation is bad and the guys that are there aren't good, because I think they are. But Tanner Bibee hasn't been quite what he was, you know, last year, and I thought he was outstanding. I think he will be again. Gavin Williams is still trying to find some things, but he's had some really good moments. And I think Ortiz has shown exactly why they wanted to go out and bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that your guy Slade got hurt. He's out with a groin. We'll see. But you're going to have to find a couple of guys to step up and do some things. I wonder if Logan Allen is here for the long run. I think he might be. I like the way Logan competes on the mound. He doesn't back down from much of anything out there. I think he's just got to be a little sharper and just solidify his spot. And I think he really can. You know, he's a lefty. Cantillo being sent down to get stretched out. I think it's only a matter of time until we see him back here as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting today that Andrew Walters comes up, and you know, they drafted Andrew to be, if not, don't take this the wrong way, if not the closer of the future, to be a back end of the bullpen guy.
Well, Class A's got a couple days. The one silver lining, I think, in the losing streak is that Class A hasn't had to go out there and pitch. So you haven't really need him. So he's gotten a little bit of time to rest here. Not that that's a scenario you want him to be, but sometimes it's not a bad thing when you're at the end of May and you're a closer, you know, still phenomenal record every time he takes the field. But he hasn't had a save since last Friday, so he's coming up on a week.
Is it wrong for me to have confidence in the pitching? And the reason I have confidence in the pitching is because they always seem to come up with it and always seem to coach it up. You know, Carl Willis is an outstanding pitching coach. We know that. I just, though they're not quite as dominant and sharp as they've been in the past, I've got a lot of confidence that they're going to figure it all out and that their starting rotation will be just fine. And might even find a couple of guys, Andy and Shane Bieber, coming back. We'll see if Shane's able to contribute. If he is, look out. And, you know, suddenly you could have, and if these guys get a little bit sharper, let's just say you go to August, you're close, Shane Bieber, Tanner Bibee, Gavin Williams, Ortiz, who's looked pretty good, and then maybe Logan Allen, maybe Joey Cantillo, maybe Slade Ciccone. You're going to have some options there if Bieber comes up and does what they hope he will do. And I got to figure Gavin Williams and Tanner Bibee are going to figure it out a little bit better. And again, I don't think either guy's been horrendous. They've just been a little up and down.
There's one other issue going on here that maybe we're just not – we're trying to avoid maybe. I don't know. Look at who they're playing right now. This is not an easy stretch by any means. I mean, you've got, what, Anaheim coming in next. Then you've got the Yankees again. Cincinnati's right around the corner. You got Houston in there. This could be a real rocky road, you know, through the middle of even the first couple weeks of June. So I don't know. Do they have time to wait? Depending on how you want to look at the entire season, right? You're six back right now. You're going to wrap things up against Dodgers. I don't want to go into panic mode, but I have to be realistic about these teams that they're about to play, that they're playing now. And, you know, the fact that they were able to get through the Tigers as well as they did, I thought was outstanding and definitely gave me hope for down the road. But again, look at what is ahead for this team. You finish up here, then you get the Angels. Okay, so maybe the Angels are a little bit under 500. Then you got the Yankees. Then you got Houston. Cincinnati gave you fits. You know, just looking at the schedule, there's nothing easy for these guys. Oh. Nothing easy. And you're at New York, too. Let's not forget that.
Well, that's true, but I don't – home field advantage doesn't mean much to me. But
and I know New York struggled a couple days ago. Were they out in Denver? So I
just think they need to take care of their own pitching issues more than anything. I don't see where the relief's going to come from with the hitting. Do you?
No, unless they decide they want to do an unorthodox move and start bringing up some minor leaguers. There's no guarantee when you bring up the minor leaguers. You're kind of saying, okay, well, look, this guy did really well here. He did really well here. But they know when to pull the trigger on bringing somebody up, right? They don't want to bring somebody up to send them back down. Unless it's one game for a doubleheader. They just don't want to do it. And I understand that, and that's been their philosophy, and it's helped them win over the past two decades. But unless you're going to make a trade, are you making a trade now?
I don't think so. Do you?
What kind of assets do you have to make a trade? That's the other thing, too.
Well, one issue, and we heard about it, Lane Thomas now dinged up a little bit with plantar fasciitis.
Yep.
That can keep you out a while, and he just came back. So if you're expecting that bat to step into the lineup and help you, and he's obviously had a tough time getting going this season with the injuries, I don't think you can count on him. John Kenzie Noel gets a start today, as Meredith said. That's terrific, but let's see him hit. You know, it's time for Nolan Jones. It's time for John Kenzie Noel to start hitting, and otherwise you're going to have to make some moves. You know, Will Brennan's out with an injury right now. Jonathan Rodriguez, Ryan Mitchell from the Clippers, the radio play-by-play man, was with us, and he explained why Rodriguez, though he's hitting, I think it's now in the 320s. Doesn't have the same pop that he had, and you know, the swing plane wasn't quite what it was or whatever. He's still hitting 320. Maybe there's an option. Chase DeLauder just coming back. Maybe Chase DeLauder is an option if he, you know, gets some good at bats at AAA. Travis Bazzana, had he stayed healthy and had he been hitting better at AA, you know, maybe he could have been here by the end of the year, Andy. The offensive options are just limited for this team. And you know, the ones that might be seem to be a year or two away.
Clippers are playing right now too. They're playing Rochester. They're on 3-0. I've started looking at some of the minor league. Arocchio's hitting second today. So he's hitting .255.
By the way, Gabe Arias' batting average in May, he's dropped every month this season. I think it's .211 in May. At least at last check, that was yesterday.
I won't look at Kavis's line score for today only because he's got two strikeouts and he's only hitting .315. So I'll try to stay away from
somebody
that.
To keep an eye on.
Well, let's see if we can go get a hit. You know, there are good things going on, though, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Jose's got a 20-game hitting streak going on right now, and I'm just so happy he's on this team. There are days when we play teams like the Dodgers, and I'm like, yep, that's our big leaguer. All right.
That's our guy.
Yep.
Oh, look at your 7. That's rough. We're going to go to Berea. Browns OTAs, Kevin Stefanski, head coach of the Browns, quarterbacks Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, expected to speak when practice ends. That could be in as soon as 5 minutes, and you'll hear it right here on 92.3 The Fan.